Bill Fennelly's here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manute.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. God forbid Ezra and Dave ever return on time for after a commercial break. You know, you guys, they're not that long. You know, you can time it out pretty well. I'll buy you a stopwatch for your birthday so you know when you got to be back on screen.
Ezra and I were having a chit-chat. We were looking at the pictures in my fridge.
Yeah, and it's crazy that I had time to actually run to Dave's house in River Heights and get back to my house in time.
You know... I don't know if you guys have ever read this. It's the oral history of ESPN, and in part of one of the chapters in the book, Erin Andrews, the broadcaster, she used to be with ESPN. She talked about how, you know, she would talk to these coaches, certain coaches, football coaches, basketball coaches, and the way that they provide inspiration and the way they provide motivation, she felt like when she was done talking with them, she could, you know, run through a wall. Mm-hmm. I get that same impression from Pascal Vincent. I mean, and this isn't the first time we've had him on.
I thought you were about to say Dave and I. Pascal as well, for sure. No.
Yeah. The inspiration I get from you guys is running through a wall to get away from you. I was talking about running through a wall to do what Pascal wants. And I mean, he is just he's so articulate and he's so well-spoken. I mean, I can't even sort of begin to wrap my brain around what it must be like to get coached by him on a regular basis, because, you know, you just feel like, you know, you're vibrating, you know, after you talk to him, and the positivity and the upbeat attitude and the motivation that he must provide for so many of those young players with the Manitoba Moose.
Yeah, no, Dave can speak to this more than I can. He's a fantastic hockey coach and a fantastic person. Obviously, you know, we've got to know him a little bit personally over the years, Dave more so, because obviously Dave, you know, goes to most of the Moose games. But not only that, like, you know, look at the players in the Winnipeg Jets that you can say, like, Pascal Vincent has had an impact on getting those guys to the next level, right? Like, whether it's a Mason Appleton, whether it's a Jansen Harkins, whether it's a Logan Stanley. Obviously, you know, Kyle Connor maybe didn't play as much in the American Hockey League, but, like, just there are so many players, you know, that Pascal Vincent has helped coach, and, you know, what came across. And you know, you're right, Drew, like, we're lucky to have, we've had Pascal on the show many times, you know, going back to the TSN 1290 days, and we're lucky to have him on and ask him, because who better to ask about Cole Perfetti or Dylan Samberg or Christian Vesalainen than Pascal Vincent? Like, he knows, like, it's not just us putzes talking about these guys, you know, on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Like, Pascal Vincent is the one that is coaching these guys and getting them ready for the NHL. So yeah, absolutely. Great interview. It's always great to catch up with him. You know, the Moose are doing well here. There was a minor hiccup with that 1-0 loss to Laval, but, you know, hopefully they're able to pick up a W tomorrow versus Laval at the Iceplex. But yeah, it's just always good to get insights from Pascal.
Yeah, Dave, you talk to Pascal more than probably anybody in this city, given your coverage of the Moose. And it just must be so... there doesn't seem to be any games, and you know, that's refreshing. I think from a player's perspective, players always want to know sort of what they're doing well, where they need to improve. They want their coach to be straightforward and not have any sort of politics going around with their answers. And I think that's what you get from Pascal Vincent. And I think that's why there's such this line of success from the Manitoba Moose organization seamlessly into the Winnipeg Jets organization.
Yeah, and you know, Eric Dubois, Pascal, Pierre-Luc's father is an assistant coach, works with the defenseman. Marty Johnson works with the forward. So you got to give those guys credit too. It's the entire, you know, Richard Bowie, the video coach. They've got a really good staff in place with the Manitoba Moose. Now, so Pascal Vincent himself would tell you that it's not just about him. It's about his entire team of guys that work with these guys. But there's no question about it. I mean, he's an excellent communicator, both with the media and with his players. And I think that's one thing. And look, don't misunderstand that this is a guy who's going to tell his players the unvarnished truth. I mean, if they're not playing well, they're going to hear about it. Now, he's not going to throw them on the bus with us. He's not going to say, you know, when we're doing a post game, this guy played like crap. He doesn't do that. He doesn't throw his players under the bus. He's not dishonest. He'll tell you, he'll make assessments. He just won't throw his players under the bus. But, you know, he's going to bring
perfectly reasonable.
No, I'm just saying, but that's just the kind of person he is. But he'll bring the fire. I mean, he'll, and the truth is it works. All of these guys, you know, whether it's, Eric Comrie, Jansen Harkins, Mason Appleton, you know, every player that's played for him under the Moose, they have an affection for him. And it's clear, you know, they don't call him coach. They don't call him Pascal. They all call him Pazzy. I mean, there's just an affection for him as a person that is very clear that these guys, to your point, Drew, will pretty much do anything for this person. So, I mean, again, I think it is a testament to him that his players, he gets that sort of consistent response from players. And I think that, and again, but the players recognize he's not doing it for himself. Well, I mean, obviously he is. He wants to maintain his job. But I mean, the point is they are developing, you know. And again, he's not losing faith in a Logan Stanley. He's saying this is what you need to do. And he does it. And again, like I said, he's done it consistently. You know, a guy makes a mistake. I mean, I can't think of a specific one, but a guy will make a mistake on a play. He throws him out the next shift. He doesn't bench them because he knows there's a value. He'll use it as a teaching moment. But he doesn't, it's not like a punitive action. And I think,
it's discipline.
But there can be. I mean, look,
there's accountability still.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's been situations where guys have missed games, healthy scratch, because they didn't follow the rules. But at the same time, again, and that's not unexpected because that's what coaches do. But at the same time, again, like I said, his methodology gets results, and those players are moving on to the NHL at whatever pace they are. Again, to Ezzy's point, a Kyle Connor, you know, after a season in the AHL, or Jansen Harkins, who has a more less linear path to that NHL role. But again, at the end of the day, that's what we're seeing, is that graduation, and that's ultimately what any organization is going to want from their AHL affiliate, is to see that their players are not just, you know, the top end guys are doing things that are making them successful, but also the entire lineup or the entire draft table, I should say.
And we thank Pascal for joining us and the Manitoba Moose PR staff for making that interview a reality on this Saturday morning. Nice to see so many of you joining us in the comments section. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. This segment brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Whatever you need, Bernstein's Deli is there to help you out. Passover starts tonight. Maybe you need a last-minute order for Passover. Give them a call. Bernstein's Deli, fresh soups. They got great deli, the Illegal Curve Sandwich. They can go on and on and on. Bernstein's Deli, located in the Cordon Village Mall. So before we had Pascal joining us, we were talking about a couple of executives. And executives are, it's unclear specifically who they are or what they're executives of, aside from an NHL team. But they were
Chief
talking about
Impact Officer.
That's you there, Mr. Ginsburg, Chief Impact Officer of Illegal Curve. They were talking about sort of good trade proposals for the upcoming trade deadline. And they mentioned two involving the Winnipeg Jets. And I want to read both of them and get your guys' thoughts. The first one came, the Nashville Predators trade Matthias Ekholm to the Winnipeg Jets in exchange for Matthew Perreault, a 2021 first round pick, and defenseman Ville Heinola.
Zero
to chance. Me, there's That's a 0% absurd. Chance that trade gets done.
Yeah, like move on. Like I don't think, I told Dave this before the show started, I don't think the Jets are trading either Ville Heinola or Cole Perfetti unless they're getting either a top four defenseman, probably top pair defenseman, or, you know, a top six forward. So those guys to me are untouchable.
And not only that,
any trade involving Perfetti or Heinola better have a player better than Matthias Ekholm coming back. I guess, you know, I just said top four defenseman, but what I meant was more
a superstar defenseman, basically.
And Matthias Ekholm can play on your top pair or your second pair. So I'm not saying that Ekholm can't be a top pair defenseman, but you're giving up way too much there. So next.
And the only thing I would add is, why would Nashville want Matthew Perreault? I mean, the Jets don't need to move him out because they'd have the room from a salary cap perspective. And Matthew Perreault's been playing great. So you're not going to
get rid of Matthew. About that trade, Dave, that makes sense, sorry, is the first round pick. Anything else in that trade doesn't make sense.
I 100% agree with Ezzy.
You know, so that one sort of made my eyes bug out because there was, I read
what
it.
Was the name, what was the name of the article again, Drew?
trades from executives, executive trade proposals. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's what it should have been called. But instead it was something like really good trades, perfect fits for organizations. I thought to myself, like, in what world?
Perfect is that NHL. Sorry. Here's exactly perfect NHL trade deadline fits 9 deals proposed by NHL executives that make sense for both teams. So, I suppose if you squint hard enough, that might make a little bit of sense for the Winnipeg Jets, but it's so minute that it's a non-starter.
We'll get to the other ones here. The reason why that doesn't make sense is simple. Ville Heinola is a guy that I know that the Jets see as being a player in their top four for the next 10 to 15 years. So why are you trading him to get Matthias Ekholm for max this year plus next year? I don't think they would do Ekholm for Heinola straight up.
The Jets, you're saying?
Yeah. So they're going to give up a first round pick and Matthew Perreault and Heinola to get Ekholm. Yeah. That's just my opinion. I really don't think you do that move straight up. That's how highly I think of Heinola, and I think how highly the Jets and scouts think of Heinola.
This next one, I don't think is going to happen because it's not in the Jets' MO. But it does. There is an argument that I could hear for it. I think it makes a little bit more sense. The Winnipeg Jets trade Adam Lowry, pending unrestricted free agent, and defenseman Dylan Samberg, who we know the organization likes, to Carolina for defenseman Jake Bean and Morgan Geeky. Now, this one makes a little bit more sense.
No. Again, no. You're giving up too much. Morgan Geeky is a great player from Manitoba. He's from Strathclair, Manitoba. Great player. Dave knows he won a Calder Cup in the American Hockey League. Great player. You're giving up too much there.
Why are you giving up too much? Jake Bean is going to be he's young still, but he's going to be an NHL defenseman. He already is. He's probably going to be a top four NHL defenseman, and you're getting him under control for a while. And, I guess it comes down to, do the Jets think that they're not going to be able to re-sign Adam Lowry? And are they worried about losing Adam Lowry for nothing? Let me make sure it's clear. I don't think that this trade is going to happen because I think Paul Maurice would lose his mind if he didn't have Adam Lowry to deploy on the Jets roster.
Yeah, that's why when we first brought this up, that's why I said, even if you think the trade is not a total loss from a hockey perspective.
Yeah.
The Paul Maurice element is what I was thinking of when I said there's no dice to this happening.
Right. And that's what I agree with. I agree that, sometimes it's not unheard of that a general manager do something that a head coach not agree with. I don't believe that that's going to be the case here. It seems like Maurice and Cheveldayoff are fairly simpatico in their thinking. Well,
and remember, he was asked about it when Kevin Cheveldayoff did his availability 10 days ago or whatever it was. And it was clearly said by Paul Maurice that if something gets, thought of, especially something that's going to impact his roster, remove a player, Kevin Cheveldayoff isn't doing it without discuss. I mean, Paul Maurice isn't saying that he's not doing it, but he says there's been consultation, right? That he gets, it's not as if he just gets it dropped in his lap. By the way, you've just lost roster player A, you're gaining roster player B. That's not the way it happens within the Jets organization.
I don't think that Cheveldayoff is making trades because out of fear of, I don't like, of losing. Like, okay, first off, if I added up the grand total of those two players, Drew, in the NHL's 46 games. So you're trading your third line center and one of your top defenseman prospects. I think we'd agree after Ville Heinola, Dylan Samberg is your second best D prospect. Mm-hmm. And so you're trading those two players to get, and Morgan Geeky's 22 years old. I talked about it. Charlotte Checkers, he had back-to-back, 45 point seasons. He's a really good player.
Yeah.
But like, is your team better if you trade Lowry and Samberg right now? I'm talking about this year. Are you a better team by acquiring Geeky and Jake Bean? I don't think you are.
Probably
that's not what the Jets need. Jake Bean is not going to be a significant upgrade in your top four.
Because the whole point is, if you're making a trade, you're making a trade because you want to have an impact this season. You think you can challenge for the Stanley Cup this season.
Yeah, to me, that's a trade for the future. Like, Morgan, that's what I mean. He's a good player. He's played 18 NHL games.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Like, the idea that somehow there's insight that Lowry's not re-signing in Winnipeg and that they don't, first of all, they have the room. I mean, he's not going to be that significant a monetary. Look, obviously, we know Kopp needs more, needs a new contract. Neil Pionk needs a new contract. Adam Lowry's going to need a new contract. And we don't know what's happening behind the scenes, Drew. You've talked about it. You know, is there kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge? We'll have a contract for you. Who knows? We don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, he's going
to
have options.
With regard to the expansion draft.
So the Jets, yeah. You know, wouldn't have to kind of sign him and protect him, that sort of idea. But the point is, you know, I just don't see, to Ezzie's point, why would you do it right now? You're a team that's challenging right now in the North for first place. You think you've got almost all the parts. There's a 0.0% chance that Paul Maurice would sanction. And again, I know he ultimately doesn't make the decisions, but you want to keep your coach happy. You want it, to your point, be simpatico within the organization. And dealing Adam Lowry, 0% chance.
It that would be a kind of trade that you could maybe conceive happening in an off season.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're at the trade deadline, you just don't see trades like that happen.
Exactly.
At the trade
And that's what I kind of meant, Drew. Like Jake Bean, he's a first round pick. He's a really good player. Like again, Dave watches the HL. I mean, Charlotte obviously isn't, you know, a team maybe that we see as much as, you know, some of the other teams in the Moose division. Like Jake Bean, there's no doubt he's going to be an NHL defenseman. You know, but he's 22. He's in the same position as a Logan Stanley in terms of, you know, like, I don't think you're trading away necessarily, you know, one prospect for another prospect. That's not what you need. The Jets need to improve that top four. And is Jake Bean that much of a upgrade over, say, a Dylan DeMello or a Derek Forbort? Like, I don't necessarily know that he is. Skill wise, his upside is higher. But again, I just don't think that necessarily makes the Jets better right now.
Okay, so we've resolved that neither of those two perfect trades, certainly being in quotes there, are going to happen. It's just not realistic. So let's get back to the trade deadline and who the Jets now, you know, we heard from Murat earlier about an hour or so ago, and the talk about Alex Goligoski, you know, coming from Arizona, you know, pending unrestricted free agent. He carries a significant cap hit right now, but, you know, maybe Arizona retains some money. The Jets can make the money work, probably. We've talked about David Savard. We've talked about Matthias Ekholm. What about Jamie Oleksiak coming from Dallas? We heard that on the broadcast last night. Craig Button, you know, talking about Oleksiak maybe being an option for the Winnipeg Jets. I guess, you know, of Oleksiak or Goligoski, because those are the sort of the two newest names that are being bandied about, Josh Manson of Anaheim as well. Do you see a fit for any of those three?
Yeah, I do. I think all three of those defensemen are good defensemen. They're different. I mean, Oleksiak had a nice playoffs last year for the Dallas Stars, and he's a guy, if you guys remember, he was traded to Pittsburgh and then acquired back from Pittsburgh. He's obviously not a guy that, you know, you're expecting to light it up offensively. He could chip in a little bit. He's obviously a big frame. What is he, 6'5", 6'6", something like that. You know, the more and more I talk about, you know, potential defensemen for the Jets, the more I lean towards a David Savard or like a Josh Manson, mm-hmm. whose dad obviously, mm-hmm. you know, had a long career with the Jets and Hawks and other teams. And you wouldn't have to give up as much. Like if we're talking about Savard, I don't think you're giving up a first round pick, are you? Like, I don't know if that's the ask from Jarmo Kekalainen. I certainly don't think Josh Manson is going to cost you, you know, a first round pick. So maybe you have to give up a second round pick or third round pick.
Well, is Josh Manson, you know, which of those guys is a bigger upgrade, I guess, for the Winnipeg Jets? You know, Josh Manson is a guy who obviously was well touted, and he's never really been able to take that next step in his development with the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, so, injury.
Well, I think it's the offensive numbers. Yeah. There were injuries, and also, you know, he put up, I want to say he had a 35-point season, 40-point season earlier in his career. And I think, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes when a guy puts up those numbers, you expect that every year. But obviously, you know, the Ducks are not the same team as they were, you know, 4 years ago or 5 years ago when he had that season. I think they would be an upgrade. You know, like Goligoski, Murat mentioned this, like Goligoski can play in your top four. Like, so yeah, it would be an upgrade. It would make your team, you know, deeper. The question then becomes, you know, if the Jets do acquire, whether it's, you know, David Savard, Josh Manson, Alex Goligoski, what does that mean for Ville Heinola and, you know, whether the Jets use him? I think, you know, we do have to, you know, ask the question, you know, is Heinola a guy that, you know, might not play that much for the Jets this year? It's possible. Like, we know that, you know, he's up with the taxi squad right now and he could always go back down to the Manitoba Moose, right, Dave? But, you know, certainly if you are acquiring one of these defensemen, I mean, we already know when Nathan Beaulieu is healthy, it's going to be tough for him to get back into the lineup with the way Logan Stanley is playing. And then you've got Sammy Niku there. But
say never when it comes to Paul Maurice and veterans.
Well, yeah, I know it's true. I mean, we know he loves those veterans. He won't take Nate Thompson out of the lineup. And unfortunately, it means Jansen Harkins isn't getting into games, right? But Dave, like I look at, you know, Jamie Oleksiak, you know, we mentioned Goligoski, Manson, Savard, all these guys, I think you acquire if the price is right. I realize that we talk about that a lot on the show and on social media and the website, yeah. But that's the thing, you know, that you have going for you if you're Chevy, is that the price isn't going to be that high for some of these players. I think Manson has 1 year left on his contract after this year.
1 year after this year at $4.1 million. It's also worth noting he has a modified no trade clause, which to me probably means that he's got a 12 team no trade, and the Jets are usually always on that list. But you know, obviously
you don't want to go from Anaheim to Winnipeg. Why? What's wrong with you?
Well, at least if you're coming to Winnipeg, you're not coming in the dead of winter. You're going to be coming in nice April 19, weather.
Me plus 19 on Monday. People are loving here.
That's right. So, I mean, that's a factor, but I don't think it's necessarily a deal breaker, because we know that Paul Stastny, of course, waived his no trade to come to Winnipeg a couple of years ago when he left St. Louis the first time.
I agree. And I think ultimately, I think what we're hearing, especially from teams like Columbus, Columbus is a minus 21 goal differential. Now, you're only 3 or 4 points back of, you're in fifth place right now. If you're Columbus, you're behind Chicago by 3 points. You have a minus 21 goal differential and you're a 500 hockey team. You know, you're 13-13 with 8 OT losses or shootout losses. And to me, I think Jarmo Kekalainen has shown that he is a very savvy GM. And I think
you're a realist.
But I think he's, what he's doing is, I mean, remember, if people think you're having a fire sale, you know, we're Manitobans. What does that mean? Oh, we're getting bargain-based pricing. You know, we're going to give you a 7th round pick for a player we want. So that would be the kind of the mentality, right? And I think what Jarmo Kekalainen is doing with Columbus, whether he's intending it or not, is getting away from that mentality of saying that they're big sellers. Oh, well, maybe Columbus isn't, because what does that do? It drives up the price. You want David Savard? Okay. You're going to give us a 3rd for him? Now we want a 2nd. You know what I mean? Like, I think I would think that, and I think we see that a lot where guys will use, GMs will use the media to kind of change that narrative, because the narrative was, and again, because Columbus was in a losing streak, was that the Jackets are, you know, ready to do business. And if you're ready to do business, maybe you're not paying the price. And again, same with Nashville, right? With Nashville's, quote, back in the race. You know, do you really feel like, do these GMs feel that their teams are sufficient to challenge? And again, it's interesting, right? Because oftentimes we say, well, there's such value in making the playoffs. What's the value in making the playoffs? Of course, that's what I'm saying for this year. As an owner, you're not as it, I mean, I shouldn't say this, because some American teams are allowing fans in the building. So there is maybe an added incentive in that regard. But at the same time, it's not the normal playoff revenue that we're used to seeing. And I just think I could be wrong. It's my own opinion. But I think what David Poile and Jarmo Kekalainen, two savvy, experienced general managers in the National Hockey League, I think what they're doing is they're trying to drive the prices back up and saying, listen, And their teams are helping, because the teams are allowing them to be back in this race. But I think what they're saying is, we're not having, like, unlike the Ducks, which are obviously clearly out of it, we're not having a fire sale. We're still thinking about it. Oh, you want this player? Well, his price has gone up.
Yeah, and the thing with David Savard is, we all know that, you know, and again, for those who aren't familiar with Savard's game, he's more of a stay-at-home defenseman. Like, he can chip in a little bit offensively. And in addition, I was going to say, to the fact that he doesn't have any term left on his contract, a big reason, again, for those who don't, you know, follow the cap stuff and the Blue Jackets as closely, Seth Jones and Zach Werenski have 1 year left on their deals. They're between $5 and $5.5 million. Their next deals, I don't know, are they going to be $8 million, $9 million? Like, Seth Jones, I realize his analytics aren't great this year, but Jones and Werenski, they're going to get re-signed. And then Gavrikov, Vladislav Gavrikov, is another guy that they signed to just under $3 million. So that's one of the reasons why David Savard, basically the Blue Jackets probably aren't going to sign Savard long-term. That's what we believe. That's why he's expendable. But you're right, Dave, they're still in the playoff race. And that's why for Chevy, the price to acquire a guy like Savard, the price to acquire Goligoski, like, I don't know, does a 2nd round pick and a defensive prospect, does that get you Savard or Goligoski? Like, it probably does, as opposed to, like, you know, I realize it's out there, and you know, Dylan Sandberg is a good young defenseman, but you're probably going to have to give up a first round pick and somebody like Dylan Sandberg to get Matthias Ekholm.
That's probably the price. I agree with you. I think that's what David Poile is doing. He's working the phones, and he's working the phones in a manner that says, okay, Boston, you want him? Let's hear what your offer is. You know, and again, like it's smart GMing. It's what you need to do. It's what you want to do. You want to drive the price up because, you know, if you're in a team like Nashville, which we talked about, you know, Drew, I remember when we were still doing the show on the radio, Drew was asking, I don't remember who we had on from Nashville when he asked the question, but it was that, what is this team?
I think it was Hal Gill.
And so, but that's the point. Like, you know, are they a team that's going to be a playoff team, or are they a team that's kind of in that reset mode? And if you're in a reset mode, you got players, you got some good assets that teams are going to want. And David Poile isn't a lightweight. This isn't his first time at the rodeo, and he's gonna drive a hard price for his players that you're going to want. So if you want Matthias Ekholm, you can have him, but you're going to pay a premium for him.
Saturday morning, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on our YouTube channel and all our social media feeds. This segment brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. I'm thrilled to announce May 11th, Rumors is reopening with their annual roast battle. You've heard of March Madness. We're in the midst of it. This is going to be May Madness. 16 of Winnipeg's best comics roasting each other in a bracket championship format. May 11th. It's not that far away. Get your tickets now. Rumorscomedyclub.com. They've got all the precautions in place to keep you safe as we're still hopefully winding down from the midst of this pandemic, but Rumors reopening on May the 11th. And maybe between now and then, we'll get an opportunity, get some of those roasters to come and roast us here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Although Dave is doing a great job by himself roasting behind there.
That's great news, Drew. You know, just wanted to quickly say, Dave, you know, Rumors has been on board with us, you know, since the Jets came back in 2011. So it's great to hear that Rumors is going to be fully opening. And I imagine that the Roastmaster General, Jeff Ross, is going to be pretty happy to hear that there's going to be those comedians roasting each other.
Well, we do a pretty good job roasting each other when we're on the show. But yeah, we aren't professional comedians. We just like to make fun of each other.
Well, isn't that what friendship is?
There's
all
a lot
about?
Of material to work with here, Dave. Let's be honest.
That is true.
Most of it very from you point. There, Mr. Ginsburg. That's very, very true. Anyways, we're so thrilled that our friends at Rumors are reopening, so you can get your tickets, rumorscomedyclub.com. I want to ask you guys this question. I asked Murat, about an hour and 20 minutes ago or so when he was on with us.
Murat just got his first mean tweet, he said.
I saw that. Don't be mean to Murat, people.
I don't think it would be anybody from our...
Who's being mean to Murat?
Jerk on the internet. Some guy, you know, some anonymous troll doing what anonymous trolls like to do. So, you know...
If you put your name behind it, I don't have a problem. If you want to... If you have your name...
If you have a problem with Murat, then you have a problem with me. And you have a problem with...
No, but I'm saying, you know, I don't have a problem with someone taking issue with a position, but it needs to be someone who actually has a name to it as opposed to X134728, which is also known as his alias.
That's right. You also don't need to be, rude. And that's why our chat window over here, which is so great to see differing opinions, but I haven't seen anything that would be
respectful. Just be a good human being. Like there's no need to be human being.
There's enough crap in the world right now that this is hockey and everybody loves it and they love to watch it and talk about it and discuss it, but do so in a respectful manner.
And why would you go like Murat? Not only is he a super talented writer, he's just an awesome guy. He's a sweetheart. So there's no need to, start insulting him. And I don't even know what was said, but just be a good human being.
There's only a couple people on the show who get to be a jerk, and that's us to each other because we're all friends and it's said with love.
While and the Carolina there, Hurricanes.
Smash the like button. I see a lot of people giving the thumbs up for smash and giving up the thumbs up for respect. Smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, get alerted each and every time we go live here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And a reminder, after the game tonight, post-game show, no sleep. sleep is for the weak. We don't need it.
Tonight, we don't sleep.
Probably about 11:35, 11:40, right around there when the Jets and Flames game ends. We're going to be live with, of course, the Illegal Curve post-game show.
But and then, fall- and then, hold on, and then following us.
Nap. I'm definitely going to have a nap.
And then following home. Us, let's not forget.
Yes, the post-game show.
Post-game show with Kenny and Sean. And they went – I listened while I was working and getting the morning papers ready to go. They went till almost 2 o'clock in the morning last night. Those guys are hardcore. They're bringing the great Jets talk following our show. So it's been a great partnership in that regard that we've been able to have a fairly significant post-game show for folks to participate in. And I love to see it.
And we'll do it again tonight, and we'll do it again, of course, on Monday night and every night that the Winnipeg Jets play. I asked Marat this question. I want to ask you guys this question. You know, Andrew Kopp or Adam Lowry, if the Jets can only re-sign one to a long-term deal.
What if they can re-sign two?
Well, then this question would be moot, but that's humor me for a second there, Mr. Ginsburg.
I wish I could put you on moot.
I can put you on mute. I can tell you that for sure. I don't think you have that power, but I certainly do. Let me ask you guys this. Which one, if you had to choose, and no fence sitting, Mr. Ginsburg, we know how you enjoy sitting on that fence, Lowry or Kopp, which one has more long-term value to the Winnipeg Jets?
Yeah, I like sitting on that fence. Unfortunately, last time I did that, the fence broke. So, you know, between Andrew Kopp and Adam Lowry, you know, I'm going Andrew Kopp. And, you know, I realize Murata has his reasons for Lowry. Lowry's, both of these guys have been career Jets, right? Drafted and developed by the Jets. And you know, they're players that, you know, Kopp, even though, you know, he plays on the wing, he's a guy that can play center. I'm keeping him simply because I think he's a more versatile player. And I think his offensive upside, even though, you know, like what's Kopp, 26 years old, 27 years old at this point, like these guys,
they're basically the same age. I think there's a year apart between them.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you're talking about upside, I mean, at this point, they are what they are. I don't think Andrew Kopp's going to have a 35-goal season. I think he can absolutely, you know, have a 25-goal season. But quite simply, Drew, that's why I'm taking Kopp, because, you know, for his offense and the fact that, you know, we know he can kill penalties. He can play up and down the lineup. So, you know, I'll let Dave get in here, but if you're asking me, and by the way, you know, guys, that I like Lowry. So I hope that the Jets are able to keep both of these guys. But if you're saying that I can't sit on the fence, I'm going Andrew Kopp.
And I appreciate you not trying to sit on the fence there, because usually that is your MO. But as he's going with Kopp. So we have one vote for Kopp right now. We had Murat earlier. And he voted for Lowry. Dave, you get to be the deciding vote. You're the Electoral College.
I like how you get to sit on the fence, though. That means you're not going to give us your opinion.
Hey, I'll give it to you after. That's fine.
Okay. Well, I mean, but you sit on the deciding vote. I mean, you could, in theory, tie the vote, and then it would be. Then we'd have to go to the people. The people would be the deciders. They would tell us who that they ultimately think. And we're seeing a lot for Lowry, and some Kopp as well. But, you know, and I think ultimately the biggest question for me is, and I'll answer it by starting with not talking about either of those two players. Is David Gustavsson. To me, David Gustavsson is that big question mark for this Jets organization. What is he going to be for you? Now, he's not.
This sounds like a fence sit. Is what this sounds like.
Oh yeah. Well, it was a start to a fence sit. But I really think. But the truth is, So David Gustavsson to me is Adam Lowry, but cheaper. I think he's not as tall. He's as strong. Maybe not quite there, but he'll be there eventually. He's as offensively talented. I would say he's probably got a better offensive ability than Adam Lowry does. And I think personally, and again, I this is my own opinion, I think David Gustavsson could replace Adam Lowry. And I think from a perspective of a team that has good contracts right now, but has to be cognizant of what the salary cap is going to look like, I think, you know, Adam Lowry as a UFA, are you going to have to overpay him? Because there's going to be a lot of interest with, you know, a team like Calgary, where he's from. Maybe Calgary's interested in Adam Lowry, Seattle. So is there going to be that interest? I would look at these two players as fairly even in terms of, would you rather have Kopp? Would you rather have Lowry? I think both of them I like that Kopp's versatility. I like that Kopp can play center if you need him, but he's also very comfortable going up on that wing. Lowry is a true center. And we always talk about center depth and the need for center depth. And to Ezzie's point, obviously, the Jets organization would rather keep both players. There's no question about it. You're especially in terms of what they've been able to do together So you're number one, obviously, but if you're asking me, Drew, I think David Gustafson could come in. If you had to keep one, I think Gustafson could come in and replace Adam Lowry. And I think Kopp would give you that ability, you know, to have that versus that Swiss Army knife that he's come to be able to continue to do what he does. So I would keep Kopp and have Gustafson come in and give you that Lowry type service with a significantly different price, allowing you to be, you know, a team that's going to be competitive as opposed to up against it. But again, ultimately, do I believe this Jets team is going to keep both Kopp and Lowry? Yeah, that would be my inclination. But if I had to make a choice, I'm going with Kopp.
Let me stop you right there. So you think that it's realistic, or you think that it's, you know, your expectation is that both guys will be here on a long-term basis?
I mean, again, I think if you can make the money work, that's what the organization would want. But again, it becomes a function of what is this organization going to do? Look, if you're going to let David Gustafson come in and be your fourth line center and play big minutes, fine. Then, but you have to find, you have guys who are knocking on that door, right? You've got like, where are you going to put these guys? Are you putting David Gustafson and Christian Vesalainen on your fourth line? No. You know, A, because that's not the way the coach wants fourth line to look. B, those aren't really the kind of roles. Gustafson less so than Vesalainen, but Vesalainen really, he's a top nine if you have a scoring top three lines, top nine wingers. So, I mean, again, but no, I mean, look, I answered your question. I'm going to go with Kopp.
Yeah, and hopefully, like, the Toronto Raptors announced that they're going to be keeping Kyle Lowry. Hopefully, the Jets will be making that announcement, keeping Adam Lowry. And like Dave said, I mean, obviously, we hope that the Jets organization is able to keep both of these guys. But you're right, Drew. Hey, look, they're going to get some more money here. Like, their salary is definitely going to be going up, and we expect these guys to sign 4 or 5 year deals. So, you know, we'll see if they can make it happen. I see Haley has joined us, so I'm going to shut up now.
That's good, and everybody appreciates that. Haley Salvian from The Athletic, she covers the Calgary Flames, joins us now on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. Haley, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm so glad to see that you guys are able to be doing this here. It's awesome. So thank you.
We appreciate that, Haley. Obviously brought you on to talk about the Calgary Flames, the Jets with their 3-2 victory last night over Calgary. You know, what stood out to me, Haley, is that, you know, entering last night's game, there was no question that the Flames were the more desperate of the two teams. Mm-hmm. Yet you didn't really see any pushback from the Flames until that third period where they were down 2 goals, and they obviously got close. They got to within 1 goal on 2 different times, but they weren't able to complete the comeback. You know, what's the culture of that Flames team that it took until that third period for them to even begin to show any of the fight that you think would be right at the forefront for a team scrapping and crawling and clawing and fighting desperately for their playoff chances?
Yeah, well, I think that if you look at what or you hear what Daryl Sutter said post game, he's like, we had a lot of dopey players who didn't wake up until it was already 1-0. And that's not a new thing that's happened under Daryl Sutter. That's something that we've heard about this Flames team all year, is they didn't start on time, or, you know, they got themselves in a deficit. And their points percentage once they're down a goal is terrible. I think they've only won, if memory serves, like 4 or 5 games after being down a goal first. So it's, to me, what this has shown, that is still an issue under Daryl Sutter. It just shows that it is, in fact, a culture problem, not a coaching problem. I think that was maybe up in the air. It was like, okay, well, shouldn't it be the coach that's getting these guys up for games? Like, you know, Jeff Ward's not getting them ready. But, you know, it's still happening here. And it happened with previous coaches in the past. So I think that kind of indicates to me that this is more of a culture problem than a coaching problem. And, you know, I don't want to point fingers. I don't know who that might be. I don't know why that's happening. It's just, you know, when you have even the coach saying that nobody woke up until 1 goal and he called them a bunch of dopey players, like, it was, yeah, I don't know what to say about that. Like, it's because I thought at first, you know, the first period was, you know, it was an okay hockey game. Like, it was fine. It's just, you can't, you know, be calling these do or die games for the last week and lose 4 straight now, lose 3 of those do or die games, and not really make it interesting for 55 minutes. You can't wait till the last 5 to really start digging in. So
And Haley, in your most recent column for The Athletic, and we touched on this during the first hour, like the headline is that, you know, the Flames have to start, you know, looking at the core of the team. And obviously all anybody wants to talk about in the hockey world right now is the trade deadline. And you mentioned this in your column that, you know, the Flames aren't mathematically eliminated, but I think you say Dom Lucician in his model, he gives the Flames, if I'm not mistaken, 18% chance of making the playoffs. So, I mean, obviously that's not very good. And it would help if the Flames are able to beat the Jets a couple of times here, but I mean, people are going to start to talk about, you know, what Brad Treliving might do. And obviously, you know, I don't think that you have a crystal ball, but like, is it possible that, you know, Brad Treliving is going to move a Johnny Gaudreau or maybe, you know, a Sean Monahan or, you know, one of the team's top players? Because it looks like, you know, if you look at this from a macro level, you know, this season has been very disappointing for the Flames, and you might have to start thinking about, you know, a year or two down the road.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think that this was a very similar conversation. You know, obviously I was in Ottawa last year, but I think that's a very similar conversation that Flames fans, Flames media were having after last season too. You know, this isn't, once again, this seems to be a theme. Like, this isn't a new thing for the Calgary Flames talking about, okay, is that enough of this core? How many chances are we going to give them? Because this is a team that has not won a playoff series in almost 6 years, since 2015. That's a really long time to be giving a group of players another shot. I think, you know, you always want to be patient with your core group. We've heard that in Toronto. We've heard them talk about, we're sticking with these guys. But, you know, with respect to the Flames, like, this is not Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and William Nylander. So you do have to wonder, you know, how many more times are you going to get, I think. And that's not to discredit a player like Johnny Gaudreau, who I think is an excellent hockey player. I think Johnny's very, very skilled. I, you know, he was fourth overall in Hart Trophy voting, you know, just 2 years ago. I think he's a very good player. I think there's a lot of good players in that locker room. It's just when you, on paper, and the what's actually happening is very different. And I think at some point you have to think, okay, who in this core needs to go? Like, who are we giving the keys to, essentially? Who is going to be the group of players that we can actually win hockey games with? And I think that is part of the reason why this coaching change was made with Daryl Sutter. I think that if there is somebody who can go in and figure out who they can win with, it's going to be Daryl Sutter. I think it was obviously going to always be a really tight turnaround to try to make the playoffs with Daryl Sutter. But now that they've gone 4-5-1 now, it's very clear that, you know, they're obviously going to start, they're still going to try to win games. Like, they're not just going to roll over and say, okay, we're done. Let's start, you know, doing an audit on this hockey team. But I do think that, you know, auditing that group and starting to look towards the future should be very important right now. And I do believe that Daryl Sutter is going to be able to, you know, pull the curtains off, or, you know, figure out who they can win with and who they can't. And I truly believe that, you know, this off season, if it ends in a disappointing fashion, which is looking incredibly likely at this point, they cannot just tinker around the edges and add window dressings. They need to address the core of this hockey team.
Saturday morning, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. We're talking about the Calgary Flames, the Jets and the Flames. The second game of the three-game series goes later on tonight. Haley Salvian covers the Flames for The Athletic. She's our guest on the show.
You know, and Haley, you don't sign Jacob Markstrom to a six-year deal for, you know, to think, okay, we're going to reset this organization. And that's a little bit of a problem, right? You've got him for five more years after this one. So what are you doing? Are you looking at things? I mean, especially from a fan base in Calgary, that's, you know, they want to get back to that Stanley Cup. They want to be a cup winner. You know, they've heard so many things, and that's, it's hard for a fan base when you've been sold on this group is going to be able to do it. You bring in a goaltender, and we've had Kevin Woodley on, who watched him, you know, as much as anybody in Vancouver. He raved about Markstrom. So you've got a goaltender in Markstrom, who's, you know, probably one of the top goaltenders in the division. What are you doing from this team? Because again, you can't really do a hard reset and sell everything and reset everything. So what would you see this team doing? Is it more of the Ranger mold? I mean, the Rangers got lucky, but kind of like a small reset and then kind of back in contention for next year?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, not only did you don't go out and sign Jacob Markstrom, like you said, to that deal to blow it up. You sign him to win. And you don't sign, like, Daryl Sutter's not coming out of retirement. He's not coming off the ranch to oversee a rebuild. It's just, you can't, I don't think anyone could convince me that Daryl Sutter came out of retirement to oversee 3 years of a 5-year rebuild. I just you make these moves, and with Tanev, you can say that to a lesser extent to Markstrom. Like, you don't go and sign Chris Tanev for 4 years to blow it up. So everything indicates to me that this is a group that wants to win. They just, you know, the way they're built, they're not built to win right now. So I think that, you know, it's not time for a full rebuild. I think there's enough there that a full rebuild's not necessary. I think that there's enough there, depending on who you decide to hand the keys to. If you make Elias Lindholm, Matthew Tkachuk, Noah Hanifin, Tanev, Markstrom, your core, Andrew Mangiapane, Dylan Dubé, and then you start building around that with your retooling pieces, like, that, you don't need a full rebuild when you have players like that. You know, I don't think that they need to blow it up. I don't think it's time to blow it up. I think that it's, like you said, it's going to be a retool. I think that they're going to see what they can do, what they can get in the offseason. That's the tricky part, because right now I would say that value is probably fairly low for some of these players, because they're having down years, because it's not working. So how do you get the most value? I think your biggest trade chip are players that I mentioned that I would include as your nucleus, Matthew Tkachuk and Elias Lindholm. But do you want to get rid of those two and then build around lesser pieces? You know, those are the kind of things that I think Brad Tree Living's going to have to kind of battle with. And I don't know if I see any of that happening at the trade deadline. I see this being more of a rental deadline than usual because of all of the kind of added pieces to this year with the quarantine. I know it's only 7 days now, and you've got the expansion draft coming. You're in a flat salary cap. So it's going to be hard to make a blockbuster deal mid-season, but I could definitely see this being an interesting summer. But I wouldn't say that it's time to blow up the whole thing.
Haley Salvian is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. Haley's appearance on the show is brought to you by Boston Pizza. Boston Pizza is the perfect starting lineup tonight with the BP Game Day Meal Deal. Choose two of your favorite medium gourmet pizzas, along with a triple order of Boston's famous wings, two dipping sauces, all for $54.99, serves 5 to 6 people, available for takeout and delivery only at bostonpizza.com or download the MyBP app. You know, Haley, you talked about Brad Tree Living there, and I mean, my math might be a little bit off, but I believe he's hired now his 803rd coach in his tenure as Flames general manager. Why does he deserve to be the person that leads the Flames through their retool? I mean, shouldn't he sort of be in the quote-unquote crosshairs, given the I'm going to use the term mismanagement that's occurred? Probably isn't a fair term, but let's say the lack of results that we've seen in Calgary.
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. You know, I don't know if I truly have the answer to that. Like, I don't know if he should be given those keys. I don't know if he will be given those keys. I think this is now his 7th year as the general manager of the Calgary Flames. And like I said before, they haven't won a playoff round since 2015. And I think there's a really fair, you know, discussion or debate to be had over, is it the core or is it the construction of this team? You know, is it the player's fault that they can't get this done? Or is it something that's been constructed of this team that can't get it done? Is it the coaches that Tree Living has hired, the pieces he's brought in around them? You know, what's the problem here? And, you know, I think that hiring, I think this Jeff Ward is his, or excuse me, Jeff Ward, I think Daryl Sutter is the 4th coach that Brad has hired in the last 5 or 6 years. So, you know, I really like Brad Tree Living. You know, I think that, you know, I think it's fair to say that there's only so many coaches you can hire before your seat starts to get hot. And I don't know what that number is in Calgary. I mean, I just moved here like 2.5 months ago. But I think it's a fair question. It's one that I don't necessarily have the answer to right now, but I think it's something that, you know, here in Calgary, is we're going to have to pay attention to, given, you know, a couple seasons of disappointing play, several coaches and questions around this core. And should the trigger have been pulled sooner? Would this team have been better this year if instead of signing Dominic Simon, Josh Levo, Joachim Nordstrom, they made something around that core? So, you know, I don't know if he's going to be the one to be given the keys. I think there's probably a group of the fan base who believe he shouldn't. And I think that's, I think it's fair on both sides. I think it's a good question, but I don't know right now. I think we're going to have to see how this plays out and ends.
Haley, I wanted to ask you about Milan Lucic, because obviously in Winnipeg, we were talking a lot about him last night. And the point I was making, we're doing post-game shows now, and the point I was making was, you know, when Lucic took those two penalties, it really made it difficult for the Flames to come back in that game, because as you would agree, right? Like, well, I can't say you would agree, but I think you would agree, you know, that the Flames looked like they were, you know, poised to tie that game up yesterday after Lucic, ironically, was the one who scored the goal, right? But I wanted to ask you, like, are you surprised that the league didn't look at that hit? Because we were all talking about how, you know, dirty that hit was, you know, forget about, you know, the punch to Neil Pionk to boot. But like, are you surprised that, you know, he wasn't suspended or fined? And, you know, I don't want to ask you about whether or not you think there's going to be a fight, because quite frankly, I don't think that really matters. But do you think that there's going to be some type of payback, or, you know, is this going to be one of those games where it's going to be a little bit chippier maybe than it was last night?
Well, I'm not surprised by anything anymore. You know, we saw Oliver Shillington just get rattled straight in the head from Jujhar Khaira, and there wasn't even a call on the ice. And then, of course, Jujhar Khaira gets knocked out cold by Brett Ritchie. So obviously there was no, you know, I think that was a situation where the league was like, we're not going to add on to that. Like, the guy was unconscious. He's out for a little bit, so we're not going to hand anything down. But I think there's probably several examples of hits that were as bad or worse than what Milan Lucic did yesterday that didn't get a call on the ice, that didn't get a suspension. So I'm not surprised anymore by the calls that we see and the calls that we don't see. You know, I could see this being an interesting game. You know, it's back to back against the Jets. There's obviously been some added, you know, heat to this rivalry, I guess, since last season with the play-in round. Whether there's some kind of retribution against Lucic, I don't know. Cause I forgive me. I don't know who it was, but I did see a quote post game of someone saying, like, that's not what Lucic is like. We know he didn't mean to do that. Like, he's not a dirty player. I don't know.
Blake Wheeler.
It was Blake Wheeler.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if that's what he's saying post game, like, I don't know, maybe the rest of the room feels the same. Like, this isn't the Matt Tkachuk instant where everyone post game is talking about how he has a history of doing these things. They're saying, like, no, like, Luch isn't like that. It's okay. So I don't know if it'll carry over. Maybe it will, because there's going to be hopefully more jump to start the game. If you're the Calgary Flames, you know, you can't come out all dopey and not wake up until you're down one goal. So maybe that is something that, you know, if the Jets are interested in mixing it up, maybe the Flames will get involved to add a bit of jump to their step. But I think the Wheeler quote spoke to how the Jets maybe felt about Lucic, and that they don't think that that's his reputation of running around to try to get guys out of the game.
You know, Haley, one of the benefits for Winnipeg, folks in Winnipeg, is that you get to watch both the Jets and the Moose, and you have that benefit of seeing the guys fairly regularly. And now with Stockton moving up to Calgary from California for this season, what have you seen? Have you seen and noticed a benefit for the team? Because obviously you still have the taxi squad, so it's not really impacting from call-ups. But what kind of benefit is the organization seeing having their players so close to home as opposed to the way it traditionally is with them being in California?
Yeah, well, I think the big thing is, with a season like this, is if you want to have guys from the taxi to the AHL or to the NHL, it's a lot more streamlined because they're all in the same building and you don't have to deal with trying to get someone from California to Alberta quarantine for 14 days, like you don't need to do as much of that planning ahead. So I think that's been really great. We obviously haven't seen many guys get called up from the American League and play in the NHL the next day. So it's not like it's something that they've needed, but it's obviously something that we've noticed that's been a benefit in a pandemic year like this. I think it's probably just good for the players too to be so close to the NHL room. Like they're in the facilities. They, you know, it sounds so corny, but they're so close to what it is that they want. And I do think that that's a really great thing for players. I covered the Toronto Marlies for my first year at the Athletic, and, you know, their facilities at the, it's now the Ford Performance Center, but their practice facility is maybe a 400 like meter walk across the hallway into the Leafs room and the Leafs facility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that was always a really big thing for those players on the Marlies, is like, you can literally see it. Like you're practicing on the Marlies rink and you can look across and see Sheldon Keefe with the Leafs and all the guys that you really want to play with and you want to be there. So I think that's a nice added element to it that, you know, for these guys, they can see what it is that they've wanted for so long. It's so close. You know, let's try to play our way out of this rink and hop right over. So I think that's like one sneaky little benefit that you know, maybe don't see on the score sheet or something. But, you know, I think it's been unfortunate. I haven't been able to get out to any practices or games, but prospects has been one of my favorite parts of this game. I did a lot of Belleville Senators stuff last year as well. And Belleville's not in the same facility, but it's only a couple hours away from Ottawa. So that was always really beneficial too. You have a last minute injury and you get a guy in a car immediately from Belleville to Ottawa and they come running in with their bags. So we, you know, the Flames haven't, especially under Sutter, we haven't seen a ton of changes to their roster in terms of guys getting called up. We haven't been seeing as much taxi squad action. You know, Zach Rinaldo, we've seen some injuries, but we haven't seen too many guys from Stockton come up, but it just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean that it's not, you know, very useful and a easier situation for the Flames.
Haley Salvian covers the Calgary Flames for The Athletic. The Jets and the Flames, the second game of the three-game series, goes later on tonight. Haley, appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. There she goes. Haley Salvian does a great job covering the Flames for The Athletic. Let's take our final commercial break. When we come back, we will do some
hopefully final Ezzy and I are back.
What was that, Dave? Sorry?
I said hopefully Ezzy and I will be back in time.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully, if you guys can make it back, it takes about 2 minutes for these commercial breaks.
I'm so not moving, Drew. I'm staying right here. I am not going to move an inch.
Time yourselves accordingly. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
"We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?"
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard!
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
We're back on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg with you on this Saturday morning. So great to see so many of you in the chat. We always appreciate the support. Hit the like button, smash the subscribe button. Do it right now. Don't miss out on anything Illegal Curve related. Be sure to hit that button. And as a reminder,
you'll be back with us in like
and I have a beef, by the way, guys. Like on the post game shows, you like at one point Drew said, gently touch the subscribe button. No. We only do one thing here on Illegal Curve. You smash the subscribe button. Whether we're not obviously literally saying to smash the subscribe button, but that's what you're doing. Even if it's a gentle tap on your tracking pad, you're smashing it.
Thank you for that.
By subscribing to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, you are agreeing to smash the subscribe button.
Yeah, we're all dumber for having listened to that. May God have mercy on our souls for that. But you know, that notwithstanding, a reminder in about it's about 12 hours from now, maybe a little more than 12 hours from now, the Illegal Curve post-game show will be live here on our YouTube channel after the Jets and Flames game ends. When the final buzzer sounds, we get started with the Illegal Curve post-game show. Be sure to subscribe right now on our YouTube channel. Like I said, that way you'll get alerted each and every time we go live on our channel. So we'll see you again in about 12 or so hours from now. Some final thoughts from you two gentlemen about what you're expecting to see in tonight's game, what we've talked about today, really what's on your mind. Ezzy, if you have any lunch plans that people might be interested in, whatever you want to end the program with, we'll be glad to hear.
Yeah, well, the lunch plans obviously include an Illegal Curve sandwich from Bernstein's Deli, but I might, have an Applejack or something like that after, maybe, bag of chips if there's time. But, great show today, boys. Great guests, obviously, with Murat, Pascal Vincent, and Haley Salvian talking about the Flames, and looking forward to, the next couple games coming up. But, really looking forward to those games against the Leafs, because we know that a couple of weeks back, the Jets took 5 of 6 from the Leafs, and now the Jets and the Leafs are tied for first in the North Division. So I'm just really looking forward to the last month and a half or so of the season, and just watching these three teams battling it out for first. But I'm expecting a chippy game. I know Haley was saying that she wasn't necessarily expecting someone on the Jets to fight Lucic, but there's going to be some rough stuff, boys. I don't think that the Jets were happy with what happened towards the end of that game. So that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting a more physical contest, which is great. I love that style of hockey.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think what it's setting itself up for is going to be some interesting, we've got the Leafs coming into Winnipeg, the 31st and the 2nd, I believe, or the 31st and the 2nd. And before
Wednesday,
that,
Friday.
Yeah, and before that...
Actually, they play on April 1st. Just kidding, April Fools.
Oh, anyways, so the point is that...
we would like to apologize for Ezra Ginsberg. It's sort of the standard caveat that we make at the beginning and end of every show, that we just apologize in advance for Ezra.
Do you guys ever think like how lucky you are to know someone this funny, this handsome, this successful?
Well, I mean...
I think the silence
we know the successful part's not real.
But I think it's setting itself up, because you've got the Leafs are taking on the Oilers for the next few games. You've got the Jets finishing off this series with the Flames. And I'd be very curious to see how it looks. Cause I mean, that was one thing I was thinking about while Haley was answering about the Flames. I thought it's amazing how focused things are. And look, we're in Canada. We know that hockey is what everybody is talking about and what everybody is focused on. Not everybody, but a lot of people. And when you have a North Division, Paul Maurice has talked about this, it's just that much more significant. And I always think to myself, like, how interesting it is that, you've got a team that could win. Like, Drew, I think you made the point earlier in the show. the Jets lose two games in a row and the world is ending. You know, now the Jets have won three games in a row. The team itself has done a very good job of remaining even. But the point is the fan base is generally, you know, get excited or they get crushed. And it was interesting because in Calgary, you know, you had the coaching change, you got your dead cat bounce, as you like to call it, although mm-hmm. Peter wouldn't approve of that. And so the reality is you've got, you now have a team that's limping, and it'll be very interesting how these things that, because remember, Edmonton is pissed off with how they played against the Leafs when Toronto went into Edmonton and pumped them. So, yeah. You know, Edmonton has revenge on their mind. So it'd be interesting to see how this all positions out in a week, because again, or not quite a week, but you know what I mean? Like, will the Jets have now won five in a row, feel real good about themselves going into that series? Will the Leafs have been, you know, dinged by the Oilers? I just think it's very curious to, you know, the ups and downs and watching the ebbs and flows of the season have been quite fascinating. But again, we got to look, keep our focus on what's happening. And I think it's going to be an extraordinarily interesting beginning. I think that's what folks are going to want to pay attention to, is that first 5-10 minutes of the game. Again, as to whether there's going to be rough stuff, I don't really know. The Jets don't really have that kind of player. I mean, they've got guys who can handle themselves, but they're not exactly like...
It's not just rough. Like, it's not a fight. That's not what I meant, right, Dave? Yeah. Like, I'm talking about, like, physicality. That doesn't have to be rough stuff.
No,
right?
I agree.
Like, that's old school. Like, we know there's less fighting in the league than there was, you know, 10 years ago.
It's not going to be a line brawl when the game starts.
No, exactly. Like, I don't think, you know...
If you do, you're playing into the Flames' hands. You know, you get the Flames united as a team. You get them, and you get the Jets out of their rhythm, right? Well, why would the Jets do that? There's no value. You know, I think, Drew, you said it, and it's right. You get revenge by scoring the game-winning goal on the power play.
A big hit, like, you know, Neil Pionk had that big hit on Johnny Hockey, right? Like, that's how you win hockey games. Obviously, hits don't win you hockey games, but you know what I mean. And so that's what I think we're going to see out of this game. Let's be honest. These teams don't like each other. They faced each other in the playoffs last year. I mean, obviously, the Jets didn't like how that series ended. You know, Matthew Tkachuk, you know, we remember, was not a major reason why they lost that series, right? Like, he obviously had an impact by taking Scheifele out, but it was other players that did the damage. But I just don't think that, you know, the Jets were happy with some liberties, let's say, that the Flames were taking. So yeah, you're right, Dave, first 5 to 10 minutes, you might see, you know, a couple players taking runs at each other, but yeah, don't expect there to be, you know, multiple fights in this game. Just because I said that, probably Lowry's going to probably fight, you know, Lucic, you know, right off the opening faceoff, maybe similar to what we saw with Blake Wheeler and Evgeny Malkin. Actually, what are we talking about, guys? It's going to be Nick Ehlers that drops the gloves.
That's right.
Well, by the way, as soon as he said, don't expect this, I thought to myself, okay, well, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Famous
last words from Ezzy. But no, again, watch that first 5 to 10 minutes. That'll set the pace for the rest of the game, I think.
Exactly right. It'll be in about 9.5 hours time, puck drop. And then after the game, the Illegal Curve Hockey post-game show.
Can I go home? I haven't seen my family in 3 days.
Go home. We don't want you here anymore anyways. Yeah, I'm going to go see my family as well. Dave's going to go see his. We'll be back in about, as I said, about 12 hours for the post-game show. Big thank you to Murat Attash, Manitoba Moose head coach Pascal Vincent, and Haley Salvian, in case you missed any of the show. You can immediately watch the replay on our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our podcast. You can get it sent to your device automatically each and every week. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Boston Pizza. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for watching. This has been the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll see you in about 12 hours for the post-game show.
No penalties here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Minuk.